You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon Arassalon.
It's true, I do not have a joke about that.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 11th season of Doctor Who, Death to the Daleks, which consists of four episodes that aired from February 23rd, 1974 to March 16th, 1974.
True facts!
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for getting these episodes to us.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E. Because it's Tumblr.
Which is spelt without me.
Yeah, that's how it works.
In case you didn't know.
It's a fairly popular social media platform. So how's it going, Tony?
You are literally with me every single moment of the day, so you should know.
This episode's going to go up towards the end of January. It is the late in... It's a late middle of December.
That's right. It is mid-late December right now as we record this. Yeah.
Early mid-late December, exactly. It's December 21. I guess that is just the end of December.
Yep.
Okay. It's the end of December, but we just saw Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. New Hope. Never seen a Star Wars before. Figured we should start from the beginning. So that's what we're doing this episode, right?
No. But so the new Star Wars two droids. Was good.
Yeah, the new Star Wars is really good. I liked it a lot. I know there's a lot of controversy. I think it's dumb.
I've heard a lot of it, that a lot of it is sort of manufactured. That, like, a lot of the hate for it is, like, a handful of, like, sock puppets. Not all of it, obviously. Like, people have differing opinions. And
I've definitely seen some people on my Facebook who did not like it, and I know that they are a real person.
I've just seen that there's, like, some of it is also, like... Like a small group of people who are trying to make themselves look like a larger group of people. But, I mean, I imagine there are also plenty of people who genuinely did not like it. Because, you know, we're all different and stuff. We all experience things differently.
But I like it.
Anyway, that's Star Wars.
Luke Skywalker drinks some milk straight from a titty, so...
Yeah, that scene sure does happen. I'm not entirely sure I was comfortable with it, with the face he makes.
After drinking from the alien space titty?
Yeah. I mean, it was good. But it made me feel squirmy.
I mean, it's also sort of a callback to the first episode.
with the green milk.
Yeah, well, it's green in this one. It was blue in the original. And the New Hope is blue milk. And now he's got green milk. I guess because it's unpasteurized.
Sure.
Did that bother you at all? There was no processing done to that milk, just straight from the titty.
What, you think he's got, like, a factory there on the, like, on his, like, exile planet?
He's got tech. He's got an X-Wing there.
He should have stripped the X-Wing tech to pasteurize milk.
He stripped the X-Wing tech to make
what
a door.
What does pasteurizing milk even do?
I don't know. Doesn't kill you, I guess. Did you know that? He took part of the X-Wing and made it his door.
No.
Yeah. I read that on the internet.
That's fascinating. You think we should talk about Doctor Who, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. It's not a good serial. I mean, what?
Do you really just want to, like, scrap? We could just scrap it and talk about Star Wars.
No, there is some things I want to talk about this serial. Specifically, one of the greatest cliffhangers I've ever seen.
Also, I feel like that might piss people off just a little bit.
Yeah, they come expecting. We're not that full on you talking you two to me, where we just don't talk about the thing.
That day will come.
That day will come, and that day is today.
Just like a heads up, that day's definitely coming.
Again, that day is now.
Welcome. We're talking about Star Wars and whatever else pops into our head.
We have been joking more and more about just doing a podcast that isn't about Doctor Who in this podcast. That eventually, soon, it won't be a joke anymore. One day you'll just download this podcast and we'll just be talking about whatever we feel like. We'll be a Weird Al podcast for a little bit, and then a Farscape podcast, a Star Wars podcast.
I think we should do a podcast where we listen to every episode of You Talking, You Two to Me.
Oh, no.
And then we do a You Talking, You Two to Me.
Hey, I hate that. You and Chris can do it.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Leave me out of it.
Okay. But then in that podcast, we never really talk about You Talking, You Two to Me.
You guys just talk about your days.
Yeah. Crazy days.
I like it.
Hollywood nights. Let's do it. Let's talk about Death to the Daleks.
Okay. The sooner you do it, the sooner you get it over with.
Yeah. Let's rip that Band-Aid off. Death to the Daleks. Episode 1, which I have called The Night That the Lights Went Out on the TARDIS.
Because it's a reference to that song thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Which, fun fact, was turned into a feature film starring Mark Hamill. Filmed in Chattanooga, I think.
You're just trying to talk about Star Wars again. I see what this is about.
Mark Hamill's in the movie! He really is. My mom saw some of the filming.
That's nice.
Yeah. I don't think she saw Mark Hamill, though. She saw whoever the fuck else is in that film, which I don't know, because they're not Mark Hamill.
They're not Star Wars.
Exactly. So, my first note just says, it's guy.
Because it starts with somebody running.
Running up to the camera, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not an older guy, though, but he still does.
He does die. So there's that.
Good for him. Then we cut to the TARDIS, where we get some remnants of two, I feel like.
Yeah, they're getting ready to go to the beach, and Sarah Jane's in this cute little swimsuit.
It's blue, right?
I think so.
We saw this not that long ago. Why? Yeah.
It feels like a whole lifetime.
But before they get to the beach, the TARDIS starts acting up and dies.
Yeah, the lights kind of start going out. Oh, in the TARDIS.
Yeah. That's the night that the lights went out on the TARDIS.
Right.
All lights, too, because they try to turn on, like, the backup generator lights or whatever. They don't work. Electric lights don't work. They eventually have to use an oil lamp.
Yes. It seems like something is sort of dampening the energy in the TARDIS.
They have to open the door
with a hand crank. Which I thoroughly enjoyed. I don't know. I like that that exists. There's an emergency
hand crank
hand
door.
Crank on the door.
Why not just have a goddamn handle?
Sorry, the simplicity of that hadn't occurred to me until just this moment.
I'm pretty sure it has handles on the other side, doesn't it?
It sure does.
When do we get to the era where, like, it stops being, like, those big weird double door, like the... Like, I mean, now it has the door handles, right? Because he, like, flings it open dramatically all the time.
I think now the front, yeah, the back of the door matches the front.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, interior, exterior doors. I think. I don't know when they changed it.
I think they at least open in the same direction now.
That's right, yeah, they did. The interior doors opened in and the exterior doors opened out.
Yeah, it bothered me a lot. Anyway.
Talking about the real meat of this episode here, whether or not the doors open in or out.
The Sarah Jane goes outside and immediately screams because of a rock?
No.
Yeah, there's like this, I mean, it's in the shape of a being.
She doesn't scream at a rock.
She screams at a rock. There's a human-shaped rock. Humanoid-shaped rock. And she's like, ah!
No, that's a person. I mean, there's a person there.
Is it?
Yeah.
What are they? Dead?
I don't remember.
It was a rock. She screamed at a rock.
I don't think she screamed at a rock.
She did, and the doctor's like, calm down, it's nothing.
But it's creepy there.
It is creepy. And they are trapped there until they can find the source of the energy loss. And Sarah Jane is all like, well, keep in mind, the doctor is holding the oil lamp at this moment. She's like, well, I'm going to go change out of this swimsuit into more...
Because it's freezing. I don't know why I could tell that it was freezing, but I remember I could tell, like, watching her wander around the planet, I was like... Someone get her a coat. They are not at the beach. It's chilly out there.
It's a fact of the universe. The doctor never gets to go to the beach.
Yeah.
But he's holding the lamp. She says she's going to go change. And he's like, all right, cool. I'll hang out here. And she goes back into the TARDIS, where there's no lights.
Yeah, she has, the doctor makes her change in the dark.
She doesn't seem that bothered by it either. I feel like it was just like a writing mishap. They're like, crap, I didn't even think of that sort of thing.
She just goes and does it.
But yeah, she would have been changing in the dark.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
But while she's away, the doctor gets attacked and taken away. Sarah Jane comes back out, finds the lamp that she could have used, and it's got blood on it. So she goes back in the TARDIS because there's a creature coming after her.
Yes.
And she's got to, like, hand crank that door back shut before the thing gets her.
But it's, like, painfully slow.
But it's already in the TARDIS and, like, comes for her, and we get, like, a POV shot. But she fights him off, opens the door she just shut.
She just shut, and she's so painfully slow each time. So she's trying to get out.
But I think she gets away. No, she gets taken.
No, she gets, yeah.
Yeah, she gets attacked and gets taken. Okay, so the doctor is being taken away by, like, these, like, Star Wars looking motherfuckers.
They're real camouflaged. So, like, the whole planet is, like, rocks and stuff.
They look like those, like, what are they, Tusken Raiders? The...
Yeah, things. Yeah. They've got these, like, big tarps over them, like, big blankets that look like the rocks around them. It's like, one of the first scenes with them in them, and I was like, there's a guy there! So the camouflage was very effective.
Okay, actually, I don't think she does get taken. She just goes to try to find the doctor. Because she finds this glowing city. Matte painting. The doctor is also sort of just wandering around because he got away from the people kidnapped him. Because he fought him off with his karate. Cloth people, cloth. What the fuck did you write, Joe?
Cloth people, cloth. You wrote that note in the past like, yes, this will be helpful to me in the future.
If you know what cloth people, cloth means, write in to the Watchathon or Rassilon, courtesy of Carrier Pigeon.
We're going to have to pull up the wiki. Because your notes suck ass, and I don't remember what happens.
The code number for this serial is XXX. Oh. It's a triple X.
Sexy. This is a sexy serial.
Is it? So she gets captured at this point. After she finds the city.
She's in the city and she gets captured. Because there's a scene where the doctor is talking to some people. He's trying to find Sarah Jane. And
he bumps into these Star Trek looking people.
Yeah. And the Star Trek looking people are like, as long as she didn't go in the city, because it's forbidden to go in the city. And they'll, like, the native people will kill anybody who enters. And, like, then it cuts back and, like, that's where she is.
Well, when he first encounters the Star Trek looking... Well, we say Star Trek looking people because they're wearing, like... They're, like, bright colored. I think they're all blue, aren't they?
I don't recall.
But they look like a Star Trek uniform. He actually gets attacked by one of them because they don't know who he is or anything. But they all have bows and arrows because there's no power.
There's apparently no power, like, on the whole planet.
There's no electronics working, I guess. But they take him back to their base. And there's a guy there who's very sick. His name's Jack. I don't even remember if he has any relevance to this plot. But hey, there's a sick dude. And they do the whole exposition of why they're there, and that there's monsters in the city.
Why are they there, Joe?
They are there.
They're there to mine what, Joe?
Perineum, which apparently is the tech. Okay, it's not quite the same spelling and everything, I think. Maybe even pronunciation, but all I heard was perineum, which is the technical term for the taint. Which, if you don't know what the taint is... I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. It taint one thing or the other. That's what taint stands for.
Is that truly, truly what it stands for?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Taint that, taint the other.
I hate it.
It's your taint.
Thanks, I hate it.
Is that the first time you ever heard that explanation?
In a while. I still thoroughly hate it.
It's the area between, betwixt.
Okay, anyway...
Okay, wait, no, wait. She still hasn't gotten taken by him because she's studying the walls of this city, which have these, like, hieroglyphics or whatever on it, these little letters in an alien language. But it looks like it says Dave. There's four big ones, and it looks like it says Dave. So I referred to this city as the City of Dave. That's when she gets grabbed. But yeah, Perineum is, like, some thing that they're mining for. It's a cure for sickness that...
Some plague that's just going around.
Yeah, that these Star Trek people are afflicted by.
They're from Earth. They're humans.
sure, all right. And then they hear a ship arriving. Like I said, one of them is sick. I guess he's sick with whatever Perineum will fix, unless he's, or maybe he's been attacked by the, I don't fucking know.
No, he was attacked.
By the monster, by the cloth people?
Yeah, they're not monsters.
They're aliens.
Yeah, I feel like there's a distinction to be made there.
Oh, I can't wait till we get to one of them. One of them is my favorite character. But they hear a ship arrive and they assume it's a relief ship for Jack and all that. So they go out to check it out. And while they're out, some of the aliens come in to take Jack or something. They're at least going to come bug him. Meanwhile, Sarah Jane is being dressed up and offered for sacrifice. The scene goes on forever.
Why do you always gotta, like, dress up your sacrifice before you sacrifice them?
Well, you want your sacrifice to look good.
Why can't you be sacrificed in your own dang clothes?
It's all ceremony and tradition. Question. Like, when you get baptized, do you have a special outfit?
Yeah, actually, there's, like, one baptism gown that everybody in my family's worn, and, like, all of our names are sewn into it.
Why can't you just be baptized in your own clothes?
Because there's, like, one thing, and all of our names are sewn into it. That's that's why.
Well, then they maybe have some reasons why their sacrifices get fancy duds.
You think all their names get sewn into it?
Yep. They all just say Dave. But the ship lands. What proceeds to happen is one of the clumsiest cliffhangers I've ever seen. The doors open, and guess what, guys? It's the Daleks, because this is called Death to the Daleks. I don't know. Just everything about this scene is just inefficient.
Your note just says, this scene is bad.
It really is. The Daleks just sort of show up. The music is comic. Yeah, it's like, it's like
bouncy trumpets.
It's like the music for a comic henchman in a 70s film. Like the music for Otis in Superman. This is what this music sounds like. So it's, the Daleks do not seem menacing. Also, everybody's lined up and like one of the Star Trek people just says, like, has a line akin to, oh no, it's the Daleks. And then just sort of like looks off camera, like, are we still filming?
Did I do good?
Are we done?
Did I give my line good?
It doesn't even look like he's doing that. It just looked like he stopped existing. Like as that character. He just like, oh no, the Daleks, and then just drifted away. Like, when's lunch? And that's the cliffhanger. It's just so
That is bad. Not even the weakest cliffhanger in the serial. There is more to come, friends. There is more to come.
That's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I have called, I don't like that title, Join with the Daleks. I don't know.
Okie dokie.
That's a terrible title. I apologize. Oh, when the last episode ended, they started shooting at them. And it was making a weird noise. And I was like, what? Because that was part of the meaning. Like, this, what is happening? But now we found out why it's making that weird noise is that it's
they
not.
They also are out of power.
Yeah, so their guns don't work. So they just go.
There's like this one scene where somebody's like, if they're out of power, how come they're still on? And the doctor's like, well, because there's an organic being inside. And some of their powers are just telekinetic. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Not really, but okay.
Why put Daleks in this serial? I don't think it originally was going to have Daleks, but it's Terry Nation, so they're like, put Daleks in it. He's like, oh, it's fun. He's trying to branch out, but guess not.
Did you just make that up, or did you read that somewhere?
No, I don't. It was originally did not. I'm pretty sure it did not have Daleks in it. This story originally did not feature the Daleks. They were included because of Barry Letts and Terrence Dick's desire to cash in on the Daleks' popularity.
I wonder what the serial would have been like without them. Although, to be fair, the Daleks do play more of like a comic henchman character in this serial, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time they spend kind of just like bumbling around
with appropriate music.
It's something that like at this point hasn't been done with them. And I appreciate not just doing the same thing with them over and over and over and over and over and over again.
They have been portrayed comically before.
That's true. You had Beta and the Dalek kids.
Not only that, but there was like the, I think, I want to say it's the Dalek's master plan. I'm not sure. But that one where like they rise up from the sand and they're like,
Oh, yeah. That was a really good scene.
They get in, like, this weird conversation with that guy from Alabama on top of the Empire State Building.
But they're always sort of short of menacing throughout this whole serial, which I think is new. And I think it's on, I think it's intentional. I don't think they're meant to be the big, scary bad.
The cliffhanger from the last one was unintentional. I feel like the composer was like, I don't know, this seems good.
Yeah.
Because that first scene should have been a little more menacing, because it's a cliffhanger, and it's the Daleks. But you're just playing, and it's what? I feel like that was at least that scene was a poor music choice.
Yes, that was definitely a poor choice. But I don't think that the Daleks are bad in this serial because they're ineffective. I found them more enjoyable. I did not find the serial overall enjoyable, but
their role in it was not necessarily a bad one.
Yeah, the way the Daleks are played isn't one of the bigger flaws of the serial.
That's fair. So, their guns don't work. Their
doctor thinks that's hilarious.
But, like, none of their stuff works, and so they're basically like, let's team up? Like, the doctor even kind of suggests it.
Yeah, because basically the people who are with him are like, can we trust him? And he's like, hell no, absolutely, do not do that. But they can help you. Like, so long as you don't actually at all trust them. Yeah, work with them?
Use them until you gotta lose them. Because the Daleks are there looking.
One of the people calls them salt shakers.
Yeah. The Daleks are there looking for the same perineum cure.
Supposedly, they need it for altruistic reasons. They, you know, I've got a big empire at this point, and some of them with, like, humans on them need that shit.
Though they go and have, like, a little side conference, and they're like, we have our own secret reasons.
We're totally still very evil.
Also, we will not let them know that there are more of us here, because there are more of them there. But they say they will cooperate and help them out.
I don't feel like that gets super important except to, like, cover up, like... I mean, there's never, like, a huge amount of Daleks. It's just that, like, there's more than the four where there should be, because they're split up in different places. I think they have only actual four physical Daleks.
So they go back to the base, and Jack is gone. They don't know what to do, so they're going to go... I don't know where they're going. I guess they're going to go try to save Sarah Jane, I guess. And they're cruising through the desert and stuff, and they get attacked by the creatures, and the captain of the Star Treks...
The captain of the Star Treks.
...gets an arrow to...
The shoulder, right?
No, he gets it, like, straight in his heart place. He dies.
No.
Yeah, the captain... No! I don't even remember the captain. What the hell are you talking about? No! You attached... I don't even remember what this guy looks like.
Oh, no!
Okay, I think what it was Jack, the guy who got taken away, may have been the captain, and they switched over to this other guy, who's now the captain, who dies, and now it's down to this third guy.
No. You're making it too complicated.
I'm not making it too complicated.
The captain dies, and then it switches over to the next person. It doesn't switch three times.
Oh, it would have switched to Jack, but Jack's not there.
Yes.
Okay, so but it does switch to this other guy, because that becomes important later on. But there's arrows flying everywhere. Oh, we get the really cool shot of the Daleks POV during this fight sequence with the little tube thing.
I really liked that shot. I thought it was clever, and we haven't seen it before.
Yeah, we've seen Dalek POVs, but not with, like... It's like generally just, like, a circle with, like, just black.
Yeah.
Around it. But this had, like, the tube.
This was clearly... You could see through the tube. Somebody put, like, a... cylinder around the lens or something.
Just a gold toilet paper roll.
Yeah.
The creatures attack the Dalek and it explodes.
Yeah, they pretty much kick its ass.
You can punch a Dalek hard enough and it just explodes. The creatures take all of them to the city and they are now prisoners. They've also drugged Sarah Jane, right? They're like waving this stuff in front of her face. Like, they still have not sacrificed her. They've just been chanting and drugging her up. Like, she could have been dead, like, five times by now.
You gotta do a nice ritual before the sacrifice. You can't just do a sacrifice quick and kill him.
If you say so.
What's the sense in that? That's not a ritual sacrifice, that's just a senseless murder.
Because this thing has taken so long, the sacrifice, that when they bring the doctor in, he shows up and starts fighting everybody and interrupts it. He gets knocked out, though, and they all wake up in a cell, but he's delayed this incredibly long sacrifice.
They're going to have to start back over from the beginning again.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Daleks have been trying to work on a workaround for their gun problem, and they seem to have done so. It's something about throwing slugs. Like, they work around, like, it shoots out slugs instead of...
Lasers?
I don't know. But they have a, they have a little target practice, but they have tiny TARDISes?
Yeah!
A tiny TARDIS?
They have a little tiny TARDIS that they shoot their little pellets into. And what I loved about that scene is that, like, presumably, they have those lying around.
Just because they hate the Doctor so much.
They hate the Doctor so much that that's just, like, what... That's, like, standard issue for Daleks to practice target practice on.
And they use their newfound gunning ability to kill some of those creatures, some of the aliens.
Yeah.
Rude.
So rude.
But they're the Daleks. What do you expect?
Guns now, so they're dangerous.
So this guy that's been sort of become the de facto captain because the captain died, goes up and informs. Well, they have Jack there, the sick guy, and says, "Hey, the captain died, so I'm the captain now." Jack is like, "You'd be a shit captain. Not allowed. You don't get to be the captain."
Yeah.
And then he dies.
He's like, listen, this is important. You're not ready to be the captain. You suck. Make sure it's the other person. Peace out.
And then he dies. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, what? What was that? You said I'm dead and no one gives a shit?
All right, cool. Bye. So they're about to do another sacrifice. They're trying to get that going. But it is broken up by the Daleks coming to save the day. The Daleks save the day.
I suppose.
They come and they shoot up the place. During this, the Doctor has to, like, real quick, like, give Sarah Jane an update on what the Daleks are.
Because she doesn't know. She's brand new to all this.
So he's like, here's real quick. They got a little plunger. They're awful. They're just,
they got one plunger. They got one shooty-shooty. One eye. They're squishy tentacle mashed potatoes on the inside. And they hate you.
Basically,
lesson over.
Space dicks. But the Daleks round everyone up and they're like, we are in charge now because we have the shooty shooty. And the new captain, who has decided he's the captain, sort of wants to, like, team up with the Daleks. He's, like, trying so hard to, like, be buddies with them.
And the Daleks are like, sure, we're in charge of you.
And he's
and
like,
he keeps being like, yes, we are partners. And the Daleks are like, yes, we're in charge of you. Pleasure doing business.
So he's like, here's an idea. Let's get all of these people here and the creatures and everything. Let's get them mining for the Perineum. And he makes some sort of deal. They'll get the creatures to help in the mines by saying that they will wipe out the creatures' enemies. The captain guy is like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And everyone else is like, that sounds shitty. That doesn't sound good at all. And when I say everybody's gotten rounded up, the Doctor and Sarah Jane are just wandering around. They've gotten away because they hear something in these tunnels. They're like going through tunnels. Sarah Jane's like super worried. She's like, "What is this? What is that sound?" And the Doctor's just like, "It's a subterranean wind effect."
But the Doctor's very clearly also scared, which is something I find fun.
So they get to, like, a bit where there's, like, three pathways, and the Doctor's like, stay here, keep a lookout, I'm gonna go ahead and see what's gonna happen. He goes forward, from the ceiling drops this snake-like robot penis thing.
Sure.
Cliffhanger. And that's the end of episode 2. We are now into episode 3. Which
we have never blown through an episode, a serial so fast.
I'm cool with it. We're now into episode 3, which I've called The Path of Death. Or The 700 Wonders of the Universe.
This is my favorite episode in the serial.
So, the snake thing, penis, whatever it is.
It doesn't look like a penis.
It kind of looks a little bit like the thing that was from the Crotons.
Yes. That's what makes it look like a penis, is that it looks like that thing. And that thing looks like a penis. Like, a lot.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a modified version of that.
I think, actually, it looks like a version of that they said, can you change this? Can you make this look, like, a little bit less phallic? This is a kid's show. That's what that looks like.
It attacks and is defeated by one of the creatures, right? Who shows up. But he's like, I'm not bad, I'm one of the good guys.
And we love him, this is a good character.
If you have ever listened to Comedy Bang Bang or seen the show, there is a character named the Timekeeper, and he sounds exactly like this character.
I've never listened to Comedy Bang Bang.
I played you the episode after we watched this.
I know.
It was very hard for me not to laugh every time he talked. And it's Chris's fault. I probably wouldn't have picked up on it immediately, but he said there's a character that sounds like it's a timekeeper. And when he showed up, I was like, he does. He sounds exactly like the timekeeper. He makes a lot of bad time puns.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him live, too. It was fun. I like him. So anyway, he's sort of now the Doctor's sidekick. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't stop the thing just yet. He bumps into Sarah Jane first.
Yes.
And says that he means no harm.
And Sarah Jane's like, okay, I don't care, let's go find the Doctor.
And he's like, don't go down that way, that's the death trail.
That's where the penis snake is.
That's where the Doctor went. So, actually, it's not him who stops the thing, because the Dalek... One of the Daleks is looking for the Doctor and comes across the snake thing. The Dalek shoots the snake thing. The snake thing's shooting back at the Dalek. They're shooting at each other. And the Doctor is on the sidelines just like cheering it on.
Kill each other.
It's really good. But while that's distracted, the Doctor runs out and reunites with Sarah Jane. They find this crack in the wall that they hide in to get away from the Dalek. The Dalek goes up to, like, the crack, shoots the wall, and then just leaves? Good enough! Didn't even, like, check to see if they were... He didn't do anything! Just went, pew-pew! Alright, and then turned around and left.
It was almost his lunch break, so...
So, the timekeeper... I don't know his name. I'm just gonna call him the timekeeper.
That is not his name.
I don't know his name. It's the timekeeper. It's in my notes that way. So the timekeeper gives us a tour of the city. And he says that it's alive.
Yes.
And it's mean.
Okay. So like the less simplified version of that is that like these creatures built this city.
We built this city.
They built this city to like basically take care of itself and to take care of the people who lived there.
It's AI that went rogue.
Yeah, and it got too smart, and now, like, I think it kicked everybody out, and half of the people, or more than half.
Is it the thing that's, like, requesting the sacrifices?
Yeah, well, the thing is that, like, most of the creatures worship the city as a god. Because it's, you know, it's, like, this intelligent being, and that's why they don't let anyone step foot in there, because it's sacred. There's, like, this small group of them, and that's where... the timekeepers from the like remember that they built it, they had the technology, and like the city shut down all the technology, and so they've kind of, I guess, reverted is the word as far as their like technical knowledge goes. And there's like a small group of them that remembers this and like doesn't worship the city and is trying to shut it down so that they can go back to learning and growing.
Sure.
So the city is alive. And it's mean.
Meanwhile, at the mine, where the creatures are being made to mine, things aren't going well.
What else would they be doing?
Getting the fuck out of this cereal. There is a brief scene where one of the snake thing rises up out of this, like, there's a little, like,
the
lake.
Snake things, they're like little pew-pews, are devastating. They like,
yeah, they like, yeah, fire everywhere. Sets one of the creatures on fire.
Yeah.
And then start shooting at the Daleks and stuff.
Because it just straight up blows up a Dalek.
Yeah, and I think the Daleks eventually shoot it down. I'm going to say, I know there's a lot of talk about things on strings, and generally it's not that bad. I mean, I've noticed it occasionally, and I'm like, oh, that was some strings, but it's not that bad. This was particularly bad. This snake thing was very clearly on a string.
Mm.
Very, very clearly. But they kind of... they killed some of the creatures, and like the Daleks are like, well, there's not enough people to mine now, so they sort of send the Star Trek people into the mines as well.
Like the Star Trek people keep getting more and more screwed over as like their one leader is truly incompetent and keeps getting them more and more screwed over. Like all the other people are like, this is a bad plan, we shouldn't do it, and the leader's like, we're with the Daleks, what I say goes. And then like the Daleks keep being like, all right, well, we're just gonna screw you over because we're Daleks. Continually.
So the Doctor has agreed to... I mean, the Doctor is going to go into the city and save the day, I guess.
Day is saved.
The Timekeeper takes him there. He sees it and he calls it like one of the 700 wonders of the universe. Oh, right. There's also that really gross scene. In that scene where he's sort of explaining everything about the temple and everything, or about the city going rogue, he draws some symbols on the wall, which is Dave. The Doctor sort of insinuates that the ancient people of Earth got their technology from futuristic aliens.
Does he?
Yeah. And I was like, eh.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the same, like, all the ancient wonders of the world, how they were, like...
They're
built
by technologically advanced aliens. They're like, oh, the ancient Peruvians couldn't have done this stuff.
And like, spoiler alert, 9 times out of 10, they can.
Yeah.
More than 9 times out of 10. Because they did it, you guys. Yeah, a lot of that is like, underestimating, like, the people of the time.
So, okay, so they go, but they go to the city. Sarah sort of teams up with some of the Star Trek people. They're going to go take out... There's, like, a big beaming thing on top of the city. That's apparent... That's the, like... That must be the...
That is what is sucking up all of the energy. I mean, yeah. Like, all the power and everything.
So they're going to go do that. The Doctor's going to go into the temple. So they get to the city walls, and they're trying to find their way in. And they're touching the walls, and they sort of light up. But the Daleks are right behind them. That was supposed to be the cliffhanger.
That was supposed to be the cliffhanger.
That was supposed to be the cliffhanger.
That would have made more sense.
The cliffhanger was supposed to be the Daleks are coming for him. But I guess they ran way too short.
They realized there was no actual substance in this episode whatsoever.
So they get in, and the doors close behind them. And the Daleks have to figure out the wall as well. Basically, from here on out, there's a series of puzzles, and the Daleks are always one step behind. That's pretty much what happens.
Now describe the cliffhanger.
Well, first they go in, they're skeletons, so there's people that have died in here. One of them is just standing up. Did it die standing up?
I've fallen asleep standing up before.
Do you think you could die standing up?
I've had days.
And then there is this Pac-Man wall. And the Doctor is very happy to be solving puzzles. And it's just a really simple maze. Yeah. You have to, like, put your finger on it and go down the... I'm like, people died? This shit's on the back of cereal boxes. This is the kind of shit you find on a Happy Meal. And people died? And it was great is, like, he's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he's like, I think this is... Oh, yes, it could be... I'm almost there. I think this is the right way. When it's like, he's right there at the end and it's 100% obvious that that's where it is. But he's still like, I'm not sure. Maybe this is it.
Trying desperately to build some sort of tension. And you're like, yeah, you got it. Like you're watching an episode of Dora the Explorer. It's behind you.
So the door opens. They go through. Door closes. Daleks come in. Then they're walking down the hallway. There's a white floor, but at one point there's some red tiles mixed in with the white floor. And they're just bebopping along, walking up to it. And the Doctor goes, hold on, wait! And like grabs the Timekeeper. And then it just shows a shot of the floor. And that's the cliffhanger!
So tense. How are they going to get out of this one?
Oh no, the floor.
Interior decorating! It looks awful. I think that'd be great if it came back and he was like, what? He's like, nothing. That was just shockingly ugly. And you had to take a moment.
That's the end of episode 3. And we're now into episode 4 on the floor. So the Doctor sonic screwdriver is at the floor.
Realizes that this red and white tile pattern is essentially hopscotch.
Yeah, you can step on the white squares, but not the red squares. And the Doctor just, John Pertwee tries so hard to make this seem not stupid. But yeah, he's doing like hopscotch when he could just like step, step, step. It's not like they're far apart.
That's true. It's one tiny square in a very close hallway.
Who designed these tests? They're really fucking easy.
I mean, a kindergarten teacher, it seems like. This will help you learn the colors. Maze to work on your motor skills. You're doing great.
What's really great, this is partially something Chris Cherry said to us, but like they get across it, and then they turn around and go like, well, what would have happened if we stepped on the red squares? And then he like gets a coin out, throws it on the red square, and it goes, and it's electrocuted. And like Chris was like, way to show the stakes after you've already beaten it.
It was dangerous the whole time.
Yeah.
Up until this point, you guys were just playing hopscotch for no reason.
But they continue on.
I love, too, that, like, the doctor's explaining all the puzzles, and he's like, this city is set up to test your intelligence. You have to be intelligent in order to move on, in order to pass each puzzle, and they get increasingly more difficult.
They really don't. But somehow the Daleks best the maze, which I don't even think they can reach the top of that thing. I don't think they can reach up that high.
They boosted one on the up.
Give me a lift up. But yeah, they definitely can't get past the floor.
No, they get the... that's right. They just roll through it. And they're like, yeah, that probably would have killed a person.
Yeah, they do get electrocuted. And they're like, we've got these shells. We're fine. And then he just shoots the floor anyway.
For the heck of it.
Fuck you, floor. But the floor heals itself.
Which is not in any way important.
Well, I mean, it's just showing that the city is alive.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, the city must be alive.
Thanks, Ian Dalek. That's a hella callback. Hooray!
So the doctor and the timekeeper have walked into an empty room, and they're being watched. They are on camera, and there's this one creature sitting in a chair, and I thought he was watching them.
Okay, this is the one thing in this whole serial that is, like, genuinely really effective, and I hated it. Hated it.
We'll come back to that when we get there, but yeah, that's the first setup of it. Is there someone watching, presumably. Sarah Jane is meanwhile rescuing the Star Trek people. Star Trek
from the mines.
From the mines, and they're loading up bags with stuff. She wants to get some bags. And she's gonna put stuff in it. That's not the perineum.
Just some rocks.
To be fair, her arc in this serial is kind of boring.
To be fair, whose isn't?
Also fair. So in this empty room, the timekeeper touches the wall, and then it somehow makes him go evil, and he like pulls a gun on the doctor, and he's like, I must kill you. And the doctor's like, nah, son. And they hug it out.
That's basically it.
They're like, we are friends, and the door's open. What kind of test is this?
That's not even a test of intelligence. Then also, how does that room work if there's just one person?
I must shoot myself?
That's not even a test, though.
No, it's not. I mean, it might be a test of fighting your evil impulses. I don't know. It's dumb. So they go through.
Again, though, I would really like to say that is not a puzzle. That's not like a test of your intelligence.
Okay, apparently I've gotten one thing wrong here. It's because the Daleks actually bring some of the Star Trek people to go destroy the beacon. Because I guess they want to get rid of it, too.
Yes.
They give them two charges, which is dumb, because they're only going to use one and keep the other one.
Yeah.
The Daleks aren't very smart, you guys, but they're climbing up the city.
I'm trying to remember. I made some comment about them not being that bad and, like, kind of goofing around, and I'm, like, trying to think of examples of that, and I'm failing.
Like them shooting the floor?
I'm just trying to think of things that they did in the serial.
It's hard to remember anything that happens
Here's the thing. Nobody in the serial is very active. A lot of things happen to people, and, like, that's a lot of the story.
I know that the Celestial Toy Maker gets a lot of flack for being bad, which it kind of is, but it has, like, all those little sort of games and tests that they have to do. At least those sort of made sense and were, like, interesting enough. Maybe not the best ever. What is happening right now is so terribly shitty. It's way worse than Celestial Toy Maker. We have now made it to basically the last room, which it's basically a sanity test, which just means they throw some weird filters on the video, and they go, just withstand it. What's happening? I don't know. Go, Just weird effects happen and they have to resist it. Even at this point, he's like, I don't know, I gave him a maze. How do I one-up that? There was a floor.
They got past the maze and the hopscotch. No one's ever gotten this far before.
But, you know, they resist it and they're fine. And the door, a door appears. And they go in there and that's where the guy that's been watching them is. But when the door opens, he just turns to dust.
Ah.
He evaporates. He's been sealed in this room and has been dead for ever.
Years and years and years. And has, like, there's just been no, like, the air's never stirred before. And so just, like, as soon as there's been the slightest moment, the whole thing just collapsed. Ugh, that's gross. And I hated it. And it was, I mean, it's very good, obviously. But, like, you know, in a way that I find disturbing.
So they find the brain of the city, and the doctor starts fussing with it to fix the city, basically. But because it's basically attacking the city, which is a living thing, the city
starts producing antibodies.
Which is just, like, more creatures, basically.
Yeah.
Just humanoid-looking dudes. They just sort of, like, appear in, like, this teleporter machine-looking thing. Oh, and there's another just little great scene where the Dalek that's at the mine notices that the Star Trek lady is gone, and then just starts beating itself up for failing.
I was so confused during that scene, because I was like, what happened? And, like, it had to be explained to me when we were watching the video, that someone had to be like, it had a panic attack so bad that it died.
I failed.
I was like, oh man, buddy, me too.
I didn't know what he was freaking out about. I was like, what? How did he fail? I don't understand. And then, like, someone was like, because he didn't keep a good enough eye on the Star Trek lady. So.
But yeah, he just has, like, a full-blown meltdown. Does he blow up, or does he just...
Nah, I think he just freaks out.
Oh, okay.
It's the scene of him freaking out. Because they had to pad out time.
Having a panic attack.
The antibodies attack the doctor, and then the Daleks come in. So they sort of leave the doctor alone and go attack the Daleks. But the doctor rushes out and is like, I've basically fucked with it. Let's go. And the city starts acting up and going weird because it's being fixed or whatever. Him and the timekeeper are running out. They even get to the floor part and they're like, oh, ah. And the doctor's like, it's fine. It's deactivated. Let's go.
We don't have time for this.
So they rush out. They meet up with Sarah Jane and they find out that the Perineum is being loaded onto the Dalek ship because they're going to take off as soon as the beacon blows. Because the other Star Trek people have set up a bomb on the beacon, and they've taken that other one, and they've come back down. But the beacon blows up, power is restored, and the Daleks are like, ha-ha, we're leaving you on this planet, fuck you! And they leave. They take the captain with them.
I don't think they take him, I think he sneaks aboard.
He sneaks aboard? He might, yeah.
Yeah.
And Sarah Jane's like, well, at least they don't have the Perineum, because we just put dumb shit in the bags. We still have the Perineum.
Yeah. But they have bags full of rocks, and we have all the taints.
And meanwhile, up in this the Dalek ship, they're like, we'll release the plague missile on them. Drop the plague missile. And the captain is on board the ship, and he hears that, and he has the other charge. And he sacrifices himself, blows up the ship, the Daleks die. Wouldn't the plague missile still just explode and drift down?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
And that's why.
What's why?
Are you not listening?
What? What?
And that's why.
What? I don't understand what you're doing. Why? You're not even going to do like a...
No.
You're just going to... You're confusing me. So, the Dalek ship blows up. Then the city completely crumbles to dust. And the doctor's like, now there are only 699 wonders in the universe.
I don't know how that's like a wonder. It's a city that kills you. I'm not exactly awe-inspired and filled with wonder. Thanks.
I don't know, man. Did you see that hopscotch? But that's it. That's the end of episode 4. That's the end of the serial.
Can we take a break and then go into some final thoughts?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's talk about the Flopcast.
Where every week we drink a lot of coffee and we talk about comic books,
movies,
conventions,
music,
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, don't forget the coffee.
Lots of weird, obscure pop culture stuff from the 70s and 80s.
And chickens. Yeah, chickens.
This will be the stupidest half hour of your week.
We guarantee it.
You can find us on the ESO Network.
And Flopcast.net.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
You know what time it is? It's time for
Final Thoughts.
Give us your final thoughts.
Okay, so you might have noticed some of the things that we did not really at all talk about in this serial are like the side characters. There were lots of them, and we just referred to the whole group as like the Star Treks or the creatures. Because by and large, they do not at all stand out. Not only do the side characters not really stand out, with the exception of, I don't know his real name.
The Timekeeper?
I can only say the Timekeeper. He doesn't stand out enough for me to remember his real name.
I would say the Timekeeper and the one captain who has a little bit of an arc.
Who has a little bit of an arc, yeah. With the exception of that character, even like the Doctor and Sarah Jane don't stand out in this serial. And part of it is just, like I said, things just sort of happen. Nobody's very active in making things happen. I think, like, the most active thing Sarah Jane does is she switches those bags. But for the most part, you're just watching this serial and it's like walking on a treadmill, you know? Like, you're going through all the motions, but you're not getting anywhere. I would maybe tell somebody to watch this serial, like, just for the cliffhangers in it alone. I mean, like, I'm always a fan of cheesiness. The thing about Doctor Who is, like, even when it's not at its best, there's something, like, really fun and enjoyable about it. So even when you're like, that was, like, a weak serial, like, how can a four-parter be filled with so much filler? But then there's, you know, there's stuff worth seeing and... Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of nothing, but still fun in that way that Doctor Who is fun, even when it's not being great. Because Doctor Who, like, its highs can be really, like, really high, and its lows can be really low, but still enjoyable.
Yeah.
So those are, by and large, my final thoughts.
I agree. It's not a good serial. It's not a great serial.
I don't want to sound too harsh, by the way. It's not, like, one of the worst serials ever. It's just...
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. It's not bad. It's just not good. It's just filler. Like you said, it's four parts, which should be great, but it just... It's still stuffed of just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens. It just kind of... Ugh. It's so fillery. But it's not, like, offensive. It's not like, okay, it's not like Day of the Daleks, where I'm like, ugh, this is bad and I just don't like it.
I just really wish I wasn't watching it. In fact, we watched it really quickly because, again, it was a whole lot of nothing. It was like eating a bag of chips, you know?
And there's some fun stuff in it. I mean, I like the Timekeeper character. And, like, some of it is just so ridiculously bad that it's enjoyable. Like, the tests of the temple are so cheesy and underwritten and just bad. But, like, enjoyable to watch. Because, oh no, the floor
is
the best cliffhanger I've ever seen.
It's definitely funny to watch, like, a bunch of adults, like, gasp at a maze. And, like, what are we going to do? And, like, you know, God bless the actors because they acted their hearts out. They did the best with what they were presented with.
Okay, I know that this is technically, like, a show for families or kid children. But this is the first time that I felt like, was this written for children? Like, specifically? This is stuff off the back of a cereal box. It really, truly is. All the characters are bland except for the Timekeeper. And I really don't like Sarah Jane in this serial.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
I mean, I didn't feel like she did enough to like or dislike her.
It's the way she's written. She's very nervous and anxious the whole time. And like, oh no, oh no, doctor.
Of feel like Terry Nation maybe didn't get the memo that...
I think maybe Terry Nation should stop writing for the show. It feels like a fillery serial from, like, the First Doctor era.
Only without, like, the charm of all of them?
It doesn't feel like he's writing for the characters that are there. He's just writing what he writes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It doesn't feel like specifically the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane. It just feels like a filler Doctor Who story. And I kind of felt that way about his last serial, which was the second part of that two-parter, kind of, the Planet of the Daleks. Felt just kind of like filler and a retread of the first Daleks. At least I'll say in this one, he's at least trying to do new stuff by not really using the Daleks all that much. But, it's just kind of me. It's just kind of there.
Yeah.
So, hey, we talked about Doctor Who.
We did an episode. You're welcome.
If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes, please. It's really helpful. It helps us get on the charts of iTunes or whatever that is. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssLon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us doing the podcast records, uncut, day early episodes. And now we do live streams of us watching the episodes. This one didn't go very well. But
you can see the panic in Joe's face as his laptop battery starts to slowly die once he realizes he left his battery charger at work.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. But generally, they go pretty well, and we've been having a lot of fun doing that, so you can check out that reward level on patreon.com/watchathon. Also on our support page, you can find a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for getting us these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Again, that's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. And that's the way Tumblr is spelled.
It's a popular social media platform.
Tune in next time when we talk about the Monster of Peladon.
We're going back?
We're going back.
Yay.
We'll be joined by special guest Ashley Rayburn, our Peladon expert / ice warrior. They kind of go hand in hand. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye and I love you.
Oh no, the floor!
Demon prisoner has escaped. I have failed. Self-destruct.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.